Is your family a success?
Is there even a measure for family success?
We think there is. And with a 20-year track record of success, we're going to show you how to bless your family with success in your health, relationships, and finances. I'm Steve Keene.
And I'm Katie Keene. And along with some awesome guests, we are going to give you our secrets to family success. Welcome to Family Success Secrets. Hello, everybody. We have an amazing guest, somebody I have followed for 10 years and have absolutely enjoyed and gained so much value from her blog, Andrea Decker. She is a wife and a mother of four who loves absolutely nothing more than being home. She's passionate about creating a peaceful home, pursuing a simpler life, and encouraging women in all stages of life to live more intentionally. And I guarantee you, she really does all of that well. So, Andrea, thank you for being here with us.
Thanks for having me.
We would absolutely love to have you tell the audience more about how you became interested in organizing and just some about your backstory before we launch into more about what you do currently. So tell us about you.
I think I didn't even realize that I was necessarily interested in organizing because it was so natural for me from the time I was a very young child, even just with my own closet and with my own toys. And even in elementary school, I would have very structured routines to my day. And my mom knew that, like, if something was off, she would need to warn me ahead of time because I really liked the order and the routine and I just thrived on that. And so it's just always kind of how I've been. And I didn't realize that was potentially slightly abnormal until I was a lot older and saw all these people who, you know, couldn't do it on their own and they didn't know where to start and they were so overwhelmed and they just needed that, like, push to help them get started or that encouragement to help them keep going. And I just would think to myself, why on earth would anyone pay me for this service? Or why would they pay me for this advice? Like, isn't this something that everyone knows and everyone can just do? And certainly we all know that's not true. It's a huge industry in terms of books and magazines, and think of all the design shows that focus on decluttering and cleaning and organizing and purging. And it's just such a huge issue in our society today with all the materialism, I guess. And so I think I've just always been this way. I was born this way. And I have grown into it as I've gotten older and figured out a way to really break it down and simplify it in a way that I can easily share it with a larger audience. And it makes sense for, like, people in different stages of life.
Absolutely. So the way that you break this down in your blog is so beautiful. It is so easy to follow. Your instructions are so well put that anybody can actually implement what you've put there. And I have benefited from all the tips and ideas. And I mean, everything from decluttering, donating, to helping make good lunches. I mean, you cover so many things that people struggle with, and you make it, I mean, the photos alone are gorgeous, but it's all just so doable. And so I'm so thankful that you were born this way. It has helped me many times over the last 10 years. And I'm sure is going to benefit our audience quite significantly once they head to your blog, because you just do such a good job. As you got older and you got married, you were telling us a little bit about your story and how the blog became.
I want to go back to, like, middle school, high school a little bit, because another thing I thought was completely normal was the fact that my room was spotlessly clean through my whole adolescence. And I would go over to friends' houses and just be shocked at the state of their closets and their rooms. And I thought, how can you function like this? How can you even want to be in your room? And so it was kind of a joke. I would often end up reorganizing my friends' bedrooms and closets when I was at their house, and they thought it was great. And they're like, this is so funny that you love doing this. And their parents would joke with my parents and with me and say, oh, can Andrea come over? My kid's room is really messy. And that kind of traveled with me through college. And I ended up getting paid when I was in college in the dorm rooms. Every so many weeks, there was a inspection to make sure your rooms and your bathrooms weren't a total pigsty. And, like, the week before that, people would pay me to clean up their rooms and their bathrooms for them so that they would pass the inspections. And that turned into running actual, like, I cleaned for families outside of my college on a weekly basis, and that kind of turned into a job. And then after college, when I actually got a real job, I didn't really love it. And I thought, I can't do this for the rest of my life. And what am I doing here? And a couple of people that I worked with had seen that I totally transformed the file system at the company that I was working for. And it was so much more functional. And they said, could you come to my house and kind of help me do this? And from there, it just, word just kind of spread. And I eventually started an in-home organizing business. That is what I thought, yes, this comes so naturally for me. I can do this. And if people are willing to pay me to do what I love doing more than almost anything, this is going to be just this great business. And I had all these plans for growing this big organizing business. This was 2006-ish. At this point, I had just gotten married and we had our first house and started this organizing business. And then a lot of my clients said, is there anywhere we can go online to get more information from you when you're not at our house? And so this was kind of just when Facebook was starting and just kind of when blogs were becoming more normal. And so I figured out how to get a WordPress blog and get some information on there. And slowly I realized this could be a way to reach a lot more people than working in one person's home and get this information more widely spread. And then I kind of realized there was a monetization component to it and that I could actually turn just the website into a money-making business without having to leave my home, which is the best thing in the whole world for me.
Absolutely. And it helps so many people because it supports you to be able to help people full time. We were military moving all around, and everywhere I went, I could pull up your blog and I could look for great ideas for the next house that I had to set up. It was fantastic. So you really did do what you meant to do. Very well.
I can't imagine I listened to your podcast of all your different stories of moving. And I think, oh man, that sounds so overwhelming, but at least I helped you a little bit with your packing and organization.
You absolutely did. And I was very thankful. It's so fantastic. I love it when I hear people who fall into doing what they really love and then get paid for it. It's just so fantastic. As you moved into the farmhouse, I know you said you were going to try to do this organizing business and then it became online. Then you started having kids. How did you transition into motherhood and still running a business?
I'm very stubborn. And so I do think a lot of in the beginning, before I had any children, I always heard from people, just wait till you have kids. Just wait till you have kids. Your house is going to be a mess. You're never going to have any time for yourself. You're never going to be able to do your business. You're never going to be able to do this. All these things that they told me I'd never be able to do after I had kids. And I was just bound and determined to prove them wrong. Yeah. And I think that is where a lot, I know that might not be the best reasoning, but really that was what was behind a lot of it is I just thought, certainly there must be a way to do all of this without feeling so burned out and without feeling tired and without feeling like I'm just going to pull my hair out every single day. So that's kind of when I got a little bit more serious about trying to develop systems and routines and figure out ways that I could do all the things that were important to me, not everything, but all the things that were important to me, and make it all work in a way that I still was able to enjoy my life and enjoy my family and feel good about my work and not be stressed out and never sleeping. Although ironically, I did have a child who never slept, so I did not sleep very much. But
happens. If folks are saying, hey, things are going to change for you and it's not going to be the same and you're not going to be able to do what, in your case, you really enjoy doing, that maybe puts a little motivation in it. At the same time, it might kind of give you fear and you're like, don't tell me that. You make me not look forward to it, as if I can't do the thing that I love just because I'm going to have an extra person that I have to take care of. And I don't blame you at all for saying, well, I'm not giving up on what I want to do just because I also want to have children.
Yeah. And certainly there have been many things that I have given up over the years, especially, and my husband too. I mean, he used to coach 3 sports and he's a high school teacher and he coached 3 sports and did student council and was like keeping score for the basketball games and chaperoning dances and all this stuff. And we've both given up a lot, but I think we still have our certain things that are just very important to us and that we're not willing to completely drop everything. And we don't have to, because we have developed systems and routines and we have flow to our days that we can still do this without wreaking havoc on our life. Mm-hmm. And I also have a laundry list of things that I will never say to a pregnant person or a new mom. And one of those is, you're never going to be able to do blank after you have a kid.
Yeah, that's great.
That's right. And the wonderful part too is you documented all of this so we can all repeat how you've done it. And you took something that does stress out a lot of parents. I mean, really, it is very difficult for most people to keep up on the house and to keep up on good systems. And you've broken it down so simply for everybody.
That is my goal, is to break it down simply.
Yep, you have. What would you say is probably your very favorite system that you would want other parents to maybe try out in their homes?
I would say, while my kids are young, I would say a solid bedtime routine is like the number one sanity saving system for a family. I think just as parents, I mean, Dave's a teacher, so he always has grading and lesson planning to do in the evenings. And that's a lot of time when I would do my writing was in the evenings because he was grading and I was writing and the kids were sleeping, and that worked out so well. But I think even just for the kids to have that routine, and this is how we go to bed, and we go to bed early and we stay in our beds until a certain time in the morning. It is still sanity saving for the entire family. And it just makes the evening so much more restful. And when we wake up in the morning, we're in a better mood and it starts the day. Like, it's crazy, but I always say your organized day starts the night before, because if you can get things going the night before and have a good evening routine, it just sets you up for a better night of sleep, and it sets you up for more productive morning, which then runs the whole day. So I always encourage people to start in the evening, not necessarily in the morning.
Yeah, it reduces that sense of emergency. We wake up already behind in the day.
And I think in the evening, it's a lot easier to say, okay, I'm just going to do these few things that are prepping me for the morning, where in the morning, it's a lot easier just to hit snooze and say, I'll do those things later.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's such a very good tip for people. I think too, in the evening, even though you're tired, there's still, at least for many people, more clarity. And like you said, less temptation to put it off till later. That's a great tip.
And it's smart. I mean, it's like if you're getting ready for a trip, you don't wait till the morning of, right? Mm-hmm. But here you have to do this thing. Typically, we don't. Sometimes it's fun. But you know, if you're going to, okay, every day is going to come. And if you're not preparing, then don't make every day a surprise. You're like, well, I woke up and the sun's up. I wasn't really counting on this. And now I feel like I'm massively behind. Well,
I say that so often. I say it's like they think the next day is not actually going to come. And then they're surprised when it does. Like, it's going to come, people.
There you go. You might as well get ready for it. That's awesome. Curiously, kind of jokingly, right? When we come into marriage, right, we have our ideas and she has her ideas, right? His and her ideas. Curious, if your husband was the same level of detail and planning and of the organizational mindset that you were at the time when you were coming out of college and that first job and whatnot.
Yeah, we are actually both oldest children.
Okay.
Which is a little bit different. He doesn't really exhibit the true characteristics of an oldest child in terms of like take charge and like always wants to be the boss, where I do. But he's very type A. He's very organized. He's very like routines and systems. We're both a little bit more introverted. So we, in that sense, fit really well together. There are many jokes about that within our families. Okay. No, it's like good. They're like, oh, I can't imagine like you guys are so good together. Or like we get a lot of oldest child comments that I can't believe you guys can work both being oldest children, but somehow it works. And he's very easygoing. Mm-hmm. And I'm probably a little bit more not as easygoing.
I was just imagining, like, if he wasn't as into the organization as you were, then that first year he'd be like, God, this requirement for my sock drawer is just too much. I can't maintain this level of organization for socks. It's just not in my, because how funny would that have been if it would have been a bit of an odd couple situation.
But it has been good. We have had the first couple years of marriage, I would get on him for like, why aren't you doing such and such? It's so obvious. And he said, it's not obvious to me. And he insisted that I write him a list. He said, if you ever want me to do anything, write it down. Mm-hmm. He's like, I have no problem doing what you ask, but I'm not going to notice it on my own. He's not overly perceptive of things. And he just readily admitted that and said, I need you to write me a list. And I didn't really want to, because I felt it was almost like his mother writing him a to-do list or something, but he insisted. And even still, if there's stuff that I want to get done, I just write it down, put it on a little post-it note by his stuff, and eventually it gets done.
Nice.
I absolutely love that. And I have to say that is something that we have done in our home in the last number of years, even with our children. And it's great because it sets the expectation of what we need done and it reduces a lot of tension. So there's not surprises or unmet expectations because they weren't said. And
or not heard properly. Like you can say it, but they're not actually listening.
Absolutely. Yes. It really is helpful. That's like another great system that I hope everybody in the audience has just heard because it's simple. And it diffuses any amount of emotion. If you just write it down, then everybody can see it. Everyone can discuss it, can talk about it, agree on it or not, or whatever. But it just really diffuses that tension that can happen.
I'm always a fan of writing instead of just saying, which is why I do my blog. No, just emails or notes, or like I'll email my husband a lot if there's something that I want to tell him, partially because he can't ever answer his phone during the day because he teaches and students can't have their phones. So email is a really great way for us to communicate. But then even just my physical planner, writing it down, every time you write something down, you remember it more than if you're just thinking it or saying it. And so even just for my own self, writing things down has been helpful. And then yeah, now that a couple of my kids can read, writing notes to them instead of just saying it, that they're reading it, they can come back and read it if they forgot. So they don't have that excuse of, oh, I didn't hear you, or, oh, I forgot, or I didn't know you were talking to me, when there's a note that says their name on it and exactly what it is. They don't have that excuse anymore.
That's right. Absolutely. And it really makes the parent not have to be the bad guy anymore. Because if they don't do what's on their list, or in our home, we use charts. Each child has a specific one for their day. And because we homeschool, that's also extra important for us because we have certain things that must be accomplished every day. It's great because just like you said, they can't say, oh, I didn't. And when we throw in those extra jobs, we actually will sometimes make it really fun for them. Like our littler boys, for example, were in a phase where they wanted everything to be a scroll. So I would write all their extra Saturday jobs, maybe if we had some few things that weren't on the Saturday chart, on a paper, and I would rumple it up and roll it up and then hand it to them like an old scroll. And they couldn't get enough of it. They loved it. So it was still written and they couldn't come back and say, well, I didn't know. They knew.
That's funny.
Yeah.
I don't remember that at all.
Oh, I do. We still have a few scrolls. They tucked in their top drawer.
So when Katie told me that she was going to have you onto the show, I asked her, I said, so if you took her and you dropped her into a house that was really messy, what do you think she would say? Would she say, this is so good, and your head would like just be filled with ideas like I can fix this and fix this? Or would it be like overload for you? Would it just, it's like, it's too loaded, it's too much mess. I can't deal with this.
I think if you're talking about a hoarder type situation, that would feel a little overwhelming. But yeah. If it was just general clutter or disorganization, that's my wheelhouse. I instantly see you could move this piece of furniture and open up the walkway and it would feel so much more open. And you could swap this piece of furniture for something with storage and alleviate the cluttery mess. That's just a lot of how my brain works. And it's interesting to me, I would say 99% of the clients that I worked with in the past, and even in my own personal house, or even just if I go to friends after they have a baby and say, hey, can you want me to help you clean anything or do whatever? And they almost always take me up on it. It goes exponentially faster than what you think it's going to go. The hardest part is literally just deciding to get started, because you look around at the mess and you think, this is so overwhelming. I don't even know where to start. This is going to take me forever. So I'm just going to do it later. And in reality, it might be a 15 or 20 minute thing. And the space is visibly transformed. It might not be perfectly clean inside of every cupboard. You might not have cute little labels and bins for everything, which I never recommend unless you're into that kind of thing, but just visibly transformed in such a short amount of time. If you just make that decision to get started, even though you kind of have that overwhelmed feeling initially, force yourself to get started and just start putting one thing away and then the next thing and then the next thing, and before you're done with that space, and it's just so calm and peaceful.
When you said you would kind of visualize this can move here and then that opens up space, is that the kind of thing that a person can learn, or is it more artistic where you kind of have to have that innate ability to do that?
Well, I can say that I have no training whatsoever in anything to do with interior design or architecture, nothing like that. I have zero training and I really don't even have that much of an interest in it. My main focus is always just on like functionality of a space. And so I think a lot of times people get locked into a certain floor plan or a certain layout because maybe that's how they saw it when they bought the house, or maybe that's the traditional way of doing something, where I'm always such an advocate of making your house work for you and your current season of life. And as an example, exactly a year ago when COVID hit and all of our kids came home and we were not planning on homeschooling them, and my husband's a teacher, so he's trying to do his virtual learning from home, and we had three kids that were all doing completely different stuff that I had really no control over. I was just at the mercy of the teachers telling me what to do. All of a sudden I realized we need a bigger table. We need more space to like sit and spread out homework. And so we literally completely rearranged the layout of our entire main floor. We turned our living room, which was the biggest room in our house, into a dining room and spread out our table as wide as it could go. And then our dining room, we turned it into a small sitting room off the kitchen. So like we have a couch and chairs, comfy chairs in our kitchen, right off our kitchen right now, instead of a table. And we moved our master bedroom and created a den, and just in a couple of days time, moved all this furniture around. And it's still that way a year later because we loved it so much.
It's amazing how things we don't expect can transform us into something we actually love that we never would have thought of otherwise.
Yeah. And it was just because we all of a sudden had this need of, we need way, because our dining area was very small before, and we just needed way more space to be able to spread out. And we didn't need that big of a living room. And so now we have a den and a small living room and a huge dining room. And we've rearranged our kids' bedrooms so many times based on like which kids need to wake up early for school, which kids can sleep in, which kids sleep better through the night, which ones can share a bedroom, which ones can't share a bedroom. We've just constantly for the last 9 years been, as we've renovated our house and as our kids have gotten older and as we've added more children and as our needs change, we just tweak the different spaces in our house. And we don't realize it anymore, but people will come over and, you have a couch in your kitchen. Oh yeah, we do have a couch in our kitchen because that's what works for us right now. And so, the kids can hang out while I'm cooking and they sit, and it's really nice.
It's fantastic. We actually did a similar thing when we first moved in, and they had a dining room in this house that had carpet and a chandelier, and we didn't need that space. So we put our piano and some bookcases and some reading chairs in there, and because we homeschool, made it a really nice reading room. It does make more sense. You touched on something that I would love for everybody to get to hear about. You mentioned basically decision fatigue, that really what blocks people a lot of the time is decision making. Do you have any tips from when you've helped other people that could help people in their homes when they're like, oh my gosh, I really do think it's just decision making that I'm fighting. It's not really all this hard. Something that they could use to get over that?
This is a little deja vu for me because I literally just wrote a blog post and did a video for 2 weeks from now. And I did it yesterday on this exact topic.
Good timing, because I had no idea, but I'll be reading this blog since I love your blog anyway.
There you go, everybody. Look out for that one.
Yes.
I think with decision fatigue, it is a result of not having those systems in place, because there are so many decisions that you will not have to make once you have routines and systems. For example, I hate meal planning, but I force myself to do it every single week because that's like 21 fewer decisions I need to make every week, because I make a hot breakfast every morning, and then that's planning the breakfast. And if I need to pack lunches, or are they eating hot lunch? And then I need to plan the dinner, and it's just all those decisions. And then what are we going to eat? Are we having people over at all? Do we need to make more food? Do I need groceries? I just plan that all at one time, make my grocery list, and then that's zero extra decisions for the rest of the week. Or we always run our dishwasher every single night after dinner, whether it's completely jammed full or only half full, because then we end the day, clean it out, and we start the day with a completely clean dishwasher ready to go. And we don't have to worry about that. I always do laundry on certain days. And I know that sounds so old fashioned, and I resisted it for a long time because I thought this is so 1950s or something, but I do laundry on Tuesday mornings and Friday evenings. And I don't think about laundry ever for the rest of the week, except those times. And if the kids don't put what they need in the laundry, then it doesn't get washed until the next time. And the kids know. And when they leave for school on Friday, they'll say, can you wait to do laundry until we get home? Because I want this shirt to be washed so I can wear it again tomorrow, or something like that. Like, they know that's the laundry day. And so I don't need to make decisions because today is not a laundry day. I don't care that you want this to be washed. I'm not doing laundry unless it was like a vital emergency. I would probably change my plans. But just those little systems can alleviate so many decisions, and that in turn will help with decision fatigue. If you're already just way under dealing with decision fatigue and you're trying to climb your way out, aside from making, setting up these systems and routines, also just think, is there a way to delegate any of your decisions? Because sometimes you don't have to make all those decisions. Sometimes your spouse can make them, or your children can make the decisions, and you don't necessarily have to be in charge of everything. I know a friend of mine, her kids plan the meals. And she says, sometimes they're not really foods that I would approve of. And I don't always let them do it. But she said, hey, it's a few less decisions I need to make every single week. And so I'm all for that.
We actually do a lot of that here too. And I love it that you mentioned that, because I think it's such an important piece for kids to grow up with a good sense of self-confidence and independence, because then they're not learning as much the hard way when they're taking on new stages of life, like leaving for college and not knowing how to do, you know, any cooking or any laundry. Instead, that's already old hat for them. They know how, they have a plan, they understand it. Then they can focus better on school or whatever their new life stage is. We, right when all the COVID shutdown happened, I got really sick. We don't even exactly know with what, but I was down for the count for a while. It was amazing to watch our children, because Steve was still working his 9-to-5. Mm-hmm. And one of our children is very severely disabled. So this left a lot of extra things that I normally did 100% of the time to be spread out wherever possible. And it was amazing to watch our children step in with this sense of pride. And I was able to talk to them and say, well, what things can you do? What do you think only I can do? Only mom can do? What jobs? And interviewing each one of them to ask them these things as they were trying to figure, you know, we were all trying to figure out how to navigate this illness, was so enlightening and so eye-opening. And they have done so many things we never expected and that they never expected they could do either because of it, because of necessity, just like how you changed your house and now you love it. And our kids are doing things that we all never expected and they love it all because of necessity. It's beautiful because that is such a difficult piece for a lot of people.
That's really cool to hear that the kids are picking up on your systems. I don't know your children's age myself, but do you see that they're starting to come up with their own systems?
My oldest daughter is 9, mm-hmm. and she definitely has her way of doing things. And so their bedroom actually has 2 closets in it. So she gets her own closet and she has it set up just how she wants it. And we have like hooks in one area and shelves in one area and hanging stuff. And then she has a certain spot for her craft stuff. And she has everything just how she wants it. And every now and then, all of a sudden, she'll come out with a pile of clothes and she'll say, I don't want these clothes anymore, or they don't fit well anymore, or these can be donated. And it's like, I'm not even initiating this. And she just does it on her own, which was amazing to me the first time it happened. And I thought, you just purged your whole closet by yourself. I didn't even help you. You just reorganized everything and got rid of the stuff that didn't fit and moving on. Okay. Wow. This is great.
So wonderful.
It's good to see that they're picking up that trait.
Yeah.
And I think it has decluttering in our house is not something negative at all. It's not this like, oh, we have to spend all day and get rid of the toys that we like. It's just, okay, that's not your favorite toy anymore. We can gladly just pass it along and you'll have a birthday again and get something else later that you might like more. And they fairly willingly declutter their own things. Sometimes I might have to say, okay, go through your closet. And if there's anything that doesn't fit, put it in a pile and we'll bring it to the donation center. But sometimes they just do it on their own. And it's never, in my opinion, it's never viewed as a negative thing or something that we dread or something that I have to force them to do. And I think it's just because they've grown up seeing me do it all the time and seeing it done regularly and just a nonchalant part of our weeks.
So our 17-year-old and 15-year-old, I came down one day, they had completely reorganized the fridge and labeled it. They had completely reorganized the pantry and they do a lot of cooking because they fell in love with it. Our family loves to cook healthy, really healthy food that tastes amazing. So they reorganized the pantry out of how I had it to how they wanted it. And they're more functional in the kitchen because of it. And so I love that your kids are decluttering their closets. It really is true that when we show them a way to do something, they really can grow right into it. And it helps so much in the home.
Giving them the space to do it on their own. Whereas if I would have been standing there the whole time saying, oh, are you sure you want to get rid of that? Didn't you just get that? I don't think we should get rid of that because that was a gift from us. Just like, okay, I know this is kind of new and I know you just got it for your birthday, but if you really don't want it, I'm not going to force you to keep it. And giving them like the authority to make their own decisions.
To live well, to enjoy what they have, right? And to say goodbye to those things that they don't need anymore. That's good. There's a lot of folks who they nowadays call it minimalism. I don't know if that's too new. What do you think about that?
I always say I'm not even close to a minimalist, but if I had to pick, I would choose minimalism over hoarding any day of the week. I think true minimalism isn't really my style in terms of the very plain countertops. I do love white, but I really like stuff. So I like to have picture frames of all special times, and I like to have shelves full of books and different things that like grandparents have given us, or different things that we've gotten through the years, or different primitive type antique things that I enjoy, but they serve a purpose for me in terms of my enjoyment, maybe not in terms of like the function of our home. But so in that sense, I'm not a minimalist, but I can get on board with looking at Pinterest boards of minimalist houses every now and then.
They are inspiring and at least refreshing.
I know. I do think it is a little bit, it can offer an overwhelming perspective of organization to people who are very cluttery, and they think, oh my, I have to get all the way to this 10 items in my clothes, or only wear 30 items for the whole month, or have nothing on my countertops. And I don't think it's super realistic for the average person to live like that. So I do hope that I offer a much more realistic portrayal of what a organized home can be like with four kids living in it and still functioning, and there's messes and there's toys and there's blankets and pillows all over the place, and then it takes 10 minutes to pick everything up and put it all back because we have our systems and we have our routines. But during the day we live in our house and it's not this sterile museum.
Yeah, I think that's a really, really good goal for a family, because when you can reduce the stress that comes with, oh my gosh, we made such a mess that we can't clean it up, I don't ever want to make a mess again, it reduces the fun. And so if you can, I feel like you guys have figured out a way to maximize the fun, maximize the activities, but minimize the stress, minimize the decision-making. You've really streamlined in a beautiful way that just seems to make, I don't know, you just like glow. And when people look at your blog, I know they're going to know what I mean. It's just really helpful and inspiring. Definitely can help families function better.
There's a lot of room for just owning less. And that is part of what minimalism is. But I think minimalism takes it a little bit too far for my personal opinion. But it's amazing how few things we actually need. And I think just even with my own wardrobe, I've never really been a fashionista or a huge amount of clothes, but I've really pared that down over the years. And it helps with the decision fatigue because I have fewer choices. And even with my kids, I just give them a certain amount of hangers. And I say, whenever these hangers are full, you need to get rid of something. And it gives them fewer choices. And so it's a lot easier to choose what to wear. And then it's easier for laundry because I have fewer clothes to wash. And it's easier for putting stuff away because there's fewer clothes to hang up and there's more space in their closet, so it doesn't feel crowded and overwhelmed. All those little things kind of work together. By owning less clothing, it's easier to maintain your space and you have fewer decisions to make. And it's just kind of this snowball effect that you can do with almost any area of your home and of your life. It just kind of builds on each other.
I absolutely love what you just said, and I want to point it out. You give the kids a number of hangers, and when they're full, you tell the kids to let you know and to pick something to get rid of. That is so beautiful because that eliminates mom having to make the decision, and it even eliminates the argument over what is the kid's favorite, what do they want to get rid of and not get rid of. Everybody listen.
Well, and I should mention, we have some amazing thrift stores, probably 3 really amazing thrift stores within a couple miles of our house. And they regularly have days where clothing is either buy one, get two free, or where all clothing is like 75 cents an item. So on those days, I'll let the kids go and they can pick out 2, 3, or 4 items that they want. And like, I don't care, they're 75 cents a piece. And so in that sense, we probably do buy clothing slightly more frequently than maybe a person who's buying it full price, because if I had to pay full price for clothing, we would probably go shopping once a year. Every couple of months we'll go and they'll get to get a new thing, like every season maybe we'll go, and when it's one of those days they'll get to pick out some new things, and so then it's up to them to get rid of some of the old things to make room. Or sometimes they'll get clothing that they want for their birthday or whatever, and then they can go through and pick out what they want to get rid of.
That is really awesome. I love that. I think I'm going to try that here.
She will.
I know. That's really neat.
I have to go through my closet now. Thanks.
Yeah, we both will be. I'm inspired to go through it again.
That's funny. Okay. We typically ask of our guests a system that you would recommend from either your family or from your area of professional expertise. But as we were talking before the show, it sounds like they're one and the same, right? So as an organizer, a person who is in love with systems for organization and that type of stuff, because you've given us some already.
Oh, yeah.
With the bedtime routine, really the planning the night before, and what we just talked about with the closing stuff. Maybe something from your experience and what you see, because I'm sure that you have helped many people in person before. Anything that you can glean from that to say, here's a system that I think would help families out there with organization in their home, in whatever category it might be.
I don't know if this is considered a system, but the number one, probably the number one thing I see people struggle playing mind games with themselves and telling themselves, this is too much work for me. I can't do this. I don't have the time to do this, and psyching themselves out before they even get started. And so again, I don't know if this is necessarily a system, but just challenge yourself to do something right now. I'm a big timer person. I know this is kind of old fashioned, but like set a timer for 10 or 15 minutes and either just yourself or your whole family, depending on the ages of them, race against the clock. Everyone has their own area, and see what you can do in 10 or 15 minutes. And my bet is that it will be significantly more than what you thought you could do before the timer started. And you'll most likely think, oh, I'm almost done. I'm just going to quick finish up in a couple minutes and then you'll be done. Or you might say, okay, I want to stop after 15 minutes, but it's 15 minutes better than what it was before. And it's so easy to just think, I can't do this. I don't have time. And there are different personality types with the perfectionism and different Myers-Briggs and different Enneagrams that it is harder for them just to get started. And it is harder to start something that you maybe can't completely finish. But what I've just seen over and over is that's how things pile up, is when you don't just deal with it on a daily basis, they pile up. And then it really is to the point where it's overwhelming. And that's when people call me and they're paying hundreds of dollars to have someone come in and do something that they could have just done in 15 minutes a night, every night.
You've just saved everybody hundreds of dollars. And I appreciate it, because that is such an effective tip. At some point I heard, and we've actually tried it and it really works, to do that exact method. And if somebody feels disorganized in their mind about where to start, just go into the room and go clockwise. And just 15 minutes going clockwise, in start in one area and then leave when you're done, when the clock goes off, and then come back to the same room, pick up right next to where you left off, set it for 15 minutes again, and just keep going. And I know for us, that really has worked. 15 minute bursts are completely doable.
Yeah. And even the mom with the newborn baby, or a person who has chronic fatigue, or there's all kinds of excuses that are legitimate reasons to be tired and to feel overwhelmed. But the 10 or 15 minutes, I just really have a hard time thinking of any situation in any person's life that would not allow them 10 or 15 minutes. And so it's just kind of goes back to whatever is most important to you, you're going to make time for. And I've been reading a ton about just slowing your life down and hurry and hustle and how detrimental it is to our brains and our bodies and our lifestyle and our children. And it gives statistics about how many thousands of hours of TV Americans watch every year and how many tens and hundreds of thousands of hours we spend on social media and on the internet. And I just think, if people would take one of those hours every day, I think it's like 6 hours of TV is the average per day for Americans. And they say like millennials are even higher than that. If people would even just take a half an hour from that and read a book, and then a half an hour and do something to better their home, like do something to better your mind and something to better your home in that little bit of time, I mean, it would make a significant difference.
I agree. I think it would be a mental health step. I think it would bring a lot more joy and tranquility, because I know most people function better in a clean, picked up environment. It just brings a sense of refreshment. And like you said, slowing down reading a book, golly, that is so healthy for our brains. I mean, there's all kinds of statistics on brain and research on the brain connections that are even made from reading in children and how important it is to even just sit with your own kid and read to them and what that can do for their life. And yeah, a half hour of each a day could really change people's lives.
All right, cool.
We all have 24 hours in a day. There's no way to make more. And it's not like, certainly some people are a little bit more energetic than others, and certain people have disabilities that would maybe require them to have more sleep or not to be able to be as mobile. But I always just tell myself, everyone gets 24 hours. We are in charge of how we spend that 24 hours. And if something's not getting done that you want to get done, it's either not a priority for you, which that's okay. Like, own up, it's not a priority for you. That's fine. Don't complain about it then. Or it's just something that we are not, we're lying to ourselves and saying we don't have time. We're really, if we look back at exactly how we spend our time, we could probably find time for that.
And maximize the fun that we're having, the enjoyment that we're having, minimize the stress that we're enduring, minimize the decisions that we're having to make, and just really revolutionize your life. 15 to 30 minutes a day, maybe an hour if you have it, can make a huge difference.
Sounds like a good system for success.
It sure does. And I thank you for sharing that.
Very good. Okay. Well, Andrea, will you tell our audience where they can find you so that they can read this blog and get all this good information and dive deeper if they would like?
I am very clever with naming my blog. It is AndreaDecker.com, and it's Decker with two K's.
Okay, there you are, folks. We will have that posted in the show description as well. And you will now see her everywhere, I bet. As you start looking around, you'll see all kinds of good information that she has for you. Andrew, we want to thank you for being with us today and sharing all this valuable information with our audience. And it's been a pleasure and a real enjoyment for us. And we've learned some good stuff ourselves. It's always a win.
Yes,
absolutely. All right. That's it, folks.
Thank you so much. And we'll have to have you back. I appreciate
it. Okay.
Thanks, Andrea.
Bye.
Thanks for listening and spending time with us today. If you know anyone who could benefit from this podcast, we would be honored if you would share it. Please rate, review, subscribe, and download.
Head over to podcast.familysuccesssecrets.com to have a top-rated family success secret sent straight to your inbox. We look forward to spending time with you again next week during our next episode. See you then.
Bye, everyone.